been on wars we fight, writing about the way things ought to be. And I don't mind them switching sides and standing up for things they believe in. When they're running down my countrymen, they're walking on the fighting side of me. Yeah, walking on the fighting side of me. Running down with life, I'm fighting and talking down to me. If you don't love it, leave it. Let this song I'm singing be a warning. You're running down my country, man. You're walking on the fighting side of me. The guy who claims he just don't believe in fight. And I wonder just how long the rest of us can count on being free. They live on milk and honey, but they preach about some other way of living. When they're running down my country horse, they're walking on the fighting side of me. Yeah, walking down with life, I'm fighting in a fart and died. If you don't love it, leave it. Let this song I'm singing be a warning. When you're running down my country, man, you're walking on the fighting side of me. Yeah, walking on the fighting side of me. Running down with life, I'm fighting. If you don't love it, leave it. Let this song I'm singing be a warning. When you run down my country, man, you're walking on the right beside me.
Yes, when you're running down my country, you're walking down the fighting side of me. And that's the name of this program here on WhiteResistanceRadio.com. Lots more news and views for our people. And of course, those are the European founding settler people of the Dominion of Canada, the United States of America, the Dominions of Australia and New Zealand, the Republic of South Africa, Rhodesia, and all of you who may be listening this morning in the European heartland. I want to play something sent to me by my friend in Queensland, New Zealand. It's a clever splicing in of comments by the disgusting Greta Thunberg and the narrator, and it's I think just extremely well done. Features some of her famous comments from, I believe, her speech to the United Nations a few months back, and so on.
Ah, yeah, it's good.
My message is that we'll be watching you.
What?
This is all wrong.
What's wrong? I'm just having a few beers. What are you, the ABC?
I shouldn't be up here.
No, you probably should be at school.
I should be back in school.
I just said that.
You all come to us young people for hope.
What? Now I go to young people to help me fix my internet and get on the Netflix for free.
How dare you?
What? Put the phone down, Russell.
You have stolen my dreams.
Your dreams? Wait till you get married, sweetheart.
How dare you?
Look, settle, pedal. I'm just having a beer, you know? Like, people aren't suffering.
People are suffering.
Well, people aren't dying.
People are dying. How dare you continue to look away?
Can't I just have this? I mean, I've been flown halfway around the world in jet planes, and look, I don't even own a big F-off V8 Land Cruiser.
How dare you?
Shouldn't the kids be away from the bar?
How dare you come here saying that you are doing enough?
Look, I'll probably just have a few more beers.
The politics and and solutions needed are still nowhere in sight.
Our police can't even build a dam in 50 years.
You say you hear us.
Nah, can't hear
you. And you are still not mature enough to tell it like it is.
Because you're mine.
It's where we draw the line.
Well, that's not a lyric.
We will not let you get away with this.
Look, I'll happily get you a pink lemonade and a packet of chips, maybe?
And if you choose to fail us, I say we will never forgive you.
Jesus Christ. I mean, why haven't we whinged about something? We used to ask to get a few more younger chicks in here, you know? About time for a change.
And change is coming, whether you like it or not.
Excellent, thank you. Can I get you a beer?
Thank you.
All right, Greta.
That's I thought really, really clever. I always enjoy the illogical nature of big institutions. And as I pointed out to some people who would like to sully my reputation, I actually went to bat for a girl from the third world the other day. There have been a number of bank robberies in and around the Port Credit and Rexdale areas in the west part of Toronto and the neighboring community of Mississauga. So what the bright lights at the various banks have done is they've hired extra security guards. Now, in some cases, their deployment may actually make some sense. In several banks, the policy is the security guard is really on the door, and she or he unlocks the door when you approach if they think you're a customer. Now, I'm not quite sure how they would judge somebody who's not legitimate. I suppose if they had a bandana on across their face. But anyway, that to some extent makes some sense. Well, this particular bank is the TD Bank. That's the big homosexual LGBTQ friendly bank. Had this little Asian girl. I doubt that she was more than about 4'9", huddled in a parka. It was below freezing, and she's outside the bank on a cold sidewalk. And I said, "Well, what are you doing here?" I mean, I thought she might just be a passerby. Well, I didn't really think that, but I just wanted to be sure. And she said, well, she's security. She didn't seem to know really what she was doing there. I sure didn't know what she was doing there. Now, just get the picture. This is a standalone bank. She's out on a sidewalk in front of the bank, not actually right in front of the door even. And I said, well, what is your job? And she said, well, if there's a robbery, I report it. I said, you mean you call 911? She said, yes. And I thought, that's a job? Now, not to disparage anybody's job. I mean, she is hired to do it, and presumably she's doing what she's hired to do, but what genius dreamt that up? And it was cold, and I thought, what possible purpose is there in having this girl freezing out on the sidewalk? And how would she know for sure if there had been a robbery? She's not watching inside the bank, she's not in the bank. And unless the bank robbers came out, you know, like a stereotypical cartoon bank robber holding a bag of cash and with a bandana across their face or handgun in their hand, how would she know? It might not be until somebody in the bank said, that we'd be robbed, that she would then get on the phone to 911. But anybody in the bank could do that, any of the bank employees or a customer. That make any sense. I'm a shareholder of the bank. Not a lot of shares, but I thought, from an investor's point of view, what's the point of this? This is crazy. Now I know her wages are not be high, and compared to the multi-billion-dollar profits the bank makes, it's a slight drop in the bucket. But I mean, it just doesn't make any sense. So I was talking to a bank employee on Friday. This is at their customer service desk. Don't expect much of that. So I said, well, you know, I had a problem with this. I thought that. So what was that poor girl? Was she standing out there freezing? I said, I couldn't even see what her job or her purpose was. I mean, she's going to report a robbery. Wouldn't it be better that she were inside the bank, as some security people are in other banks? Well, that's up to the security company. I said, no, with respect, you're hiring the security company. You know, that they do your bidding. Oh, yeah, this is so typical of Canadian bureaucrats. It's never their fault. Now, it's always your fault. Hey, you don't pay your taxes, it's your fault. I can't say, the dog ate the return or something. So I pursued it a little further. I said, well, you know, I think those working conditions are terrible. You know, it's cold out there. I didn't mention she's from the third world, but you know, presumably she suffers more from the cold than perhaps I might. Well, I didn't even have any purpose to it. And she said, well, she chose to take the job. I think I mentioned she's probably making the minimum wage. Well, she chose to take the job. I thought, yeah, she chose to take the job. That doesn't mean that just absolutely anything goes. I thought, absolutely no compassion. I'm glad that was the customer service desk. Oh, what do we have here? Oh my gosh, a speech canceled in Regina. I don't want to hear anything I don't want to hear. The city of Regina is axing self-described sensible environmentalist Patrick Moore from its sustainability conference this spring. This is a present slogan, and I tried very desperately to get my head around what it means. Everything's the companies are boasting this is sustainable, that's sustainable, and you struggle to figure out, well, okay, I kind of know what sustainable means. It means, you know, it can go on and on, but how does that apply here? Anyway, you'll find out that it's particularly goofy here. At a press conference at City Hall this past Friday, Councillor Mike O'Donnell said Moore's keynote speech had become a detraction to the overall objectives of the reimagined conference. It sounds like a bunch of hippies on psychedelic drugs. Okay, the reimagined conference, which is intended to foster discussion around how to make the city's facilities and operations 100% renewable. What did that mean? To make the city's facilities and operations 100% renewable. I don't know. I mean, I could ask, well, how would sewers, let's say, and sidewalks be 100% renewable? I mean, do they begin to wear out and then they just grow back somehow? I mean, what does it mean? Sewers will eventually have to be replaced. Sidewalks get old, begin to crack, and have to be replaced. Same with roads. What does it mean to be 100% renewable? I don't know. You know, if you go into a conference and you're not even quite sure what the topic is. Okay, so it gets better here, if that's possible. I have been deplatformed and canceled and round filed by the great city of Regina for daring to question the God-given wisdom of the catastrophists, Moore tweeted in response to the news of his removal. Actually, I don't want to be I don't want to be part of that stupid exercise. It's impossible to make a city 100% renewable. Exactly. Patrick Moore is a sensible environmentalist, as am I. I mean, I don't want to see the environment degraded. I don't approve of pollution, and where we can, we should clean up, plant trees. Yeah, of course. But many of the so-called environmentalists today are really nuts and nutcases. First of all, they said we were responsible for global warming, and global warming is going to we're all going to end up the Earth's going to burn up. Well, then when it turned out that the statistics, the 97% of scientists all agree the science is in. Well, it turned out the science wasn't in. 97% of scientists did not agree, even though many were intimidated into silence. And it turned out that the the data did not support the conclusion that the Earth is warming. In fact, it's hard to be sure. Is it slightly warming, or is it slightly cooling, or is it just bouncing up and down, and there really isn't a trend, which is more likely the case? Okay, well then, of course, the blame man environmentalists switched the party line to climate change. And of course, guess what? We're responsible for climate change. Yeah, okay. you got it. So if it warms up, we're responsible for burning hydrocarbons. If it cools down, wait a sec, it wasn't burning hydrocarbons, supposedly, or adding to the carbon dioxide in the air, which is actually a good thing, plants need it. Wasn't that creating warming? Well, if it happens to be cooling, you see what I mean? You can't have it both ways. But the bottom line in all this is, as Greta Thunberg says, how dare you? Anyway, so the city canceled it. A conference co-chairs O'Donnell and Council Joel Murray made the decision to remove Moore from the agenda after social media backlash prompted Mayor Michael Fougere to ask organizers to reconsider Moore's role in the conference. Well, there's been some objection from the crazies. Oh, throw them out. Or deplatform them. Now, if you're going to have a conference on something that's a little bit nebulous, like how to make the city facilities in China 100% renewable, wouldn't it be important to have various points of view? Yeah, you don't have to agree with them. Well, apparently not. At least not to the fanatics. These counselors says that the purpose of the Reimagine conference is not to spark debate about climate change. Well, if they want to make the city renewable, they have to take into consideration climate. If climate's changing, that ought to be part of the agenda. Quote, we hope that the adjustment to the agenda will refocus discussions back to the true intent of this gathering. Moore is on the board of directors of the Carbon Dioxide Coalition, an organization that promotes the idea that creating carbon dioxide is beneficial to the world, and that's what I said just a few moments ago. In fact, it's been shown in greenhouses, if you inject more carbon dioxide into the air, the plants grow better. Because plants manufacture carbon dioxide and turn it into useful things like oxygen. It, far from being a bad thing, it's not like sulfur dioxide. Yeah, that's a noxious poison in the air. So carbon dioxide is a good thing, not a bad thing. He has been widely criticized for calling the climate crisis fake news and fake science. Quote, there's no climate crisis, he said on an episode of Fox and Friends last year. Moore has said that he's not a climate change denier, but while he agrees the climate is changing, I don't agree that we have any serious evidence that carbon dioxide is actually the main driver of the whole world's climate. I find this very interesting. He says he's not a climate denier or climate change denier. I think one has a reason to be a climate change skeptic. Is climate changing? Or let's say, is it changing to any sort of discernible pattern? Yes, quite often in many parts of the world, the climate this year is a little bit different from the climate last year. But I think you can only really label it as climate change in any sort of meaningful way if there's a pattern. Like, let's say, if it's getting, let's say, drier or wetter or colder or warmer. In a pattern. Now, one year does not make a pattern. For instance, in much of this past month has been brutally cold on the Canadian prairies, colder than usual. Is that climate change? Well, not in terms of a pattern. It's different from last year's winter. That's true. So it is a change. But to be worthy of discussion as a pattern, there has to be a pattern. Otherwise, what you're saying is basically trivial. The climate this year is a little bit different from the climate last year. Yeah, that perhaps is so. But so what? I mean, or what can you do with that information? Well, I want to congratulate a fine lady who is a political prisoner. That's Monica Schaefer. And Monica is the new president of a Canadian group with which I'm associated, and it's called Truth and Justice for Germans. And she's a political prisoner. She's German. She's born in Canada, but German speaking. She's an ideal president. She's a fighter. She's an activist, and that's exactly what this organization needs. It's been existing for a number of years, kind of below the radar, hasn't done a lot of things, and I think many people in the group, myself included, would like to see things become more active, because there certainly is quite a lot of work to do. And this is from Monica. She says, "The Truth and Justice for Germans, the name tells the story, and is long overdue. It is high time that there be truth and justice for Germans. The lies, deceptions, vilification, demonizing, and slander against the German people began long ago and has continued nonstop to this day. Not only did Germany suffer the physical devastation of two bloody world wars, they suffered the total re-education and indoctrination of themselves and a world who falsely blamed the victim, that's the Germans, for the wars and for a fantastical genocide which they never committed. They are not permitted to grieve their own losses and are criminalized for speaking truth about their history and achievements. Everything has been turned on its head. The pain of destruction is one thing. The pain of being falsely turned into a villain is on an entirely different level. Germany has been brought down to her knees, and the war against her has never ended." And this is true. You'd think the war ended in 1945 when the Allies were victorious, or I should say the Communists were victorious, and the National Socialist Government of Germany was defeated and replaced. You would think that would be it, and life moves ahead. On an economic level, to some extent, it did. Germany has been, Germans have been the subject of three quarters of a century of brutal, guilt-inducing, self-hating propaganda. My comments. I came into contact, this is Monica again, came into contact with the Vancouver-based Truth and Justice for Germans after my 2016 video, "Sorry Mom, I Was Wrong About the Holocaust," was released. It's hard to put into words how much it helped me when I was occasionally able to join them at their gatherings. It was a sanctuary of sanity for me, a strength and sustenance-giving sojourn in between facing the battle front in Jasper on a daily basis at that time. And, you know, she was being witch-hunted in her hometown of Jasper, shunned, vilified, it was terrible, deplatformed, and so on. They have now invited me to become president of their organization, which I'm honored to accept, and that's Monica Schaefer. Now, this is the mission statement of Truth and Justice for Germans. We're dedicated to restoring and maintaining and defending the honor, dignity, and reputation of the German people and their descendants, both in Canada and abroad, from slander, insults, false news, and biased and incomplete reporting, which has led to discrimination, fear, hatred, and Germanism, and sorry, anti-Germanism in the public realm. That's true. We hope our efforts will foster a better understanding of German history, culture, and achievements, and a more accurate and complete view of world history as it relates to the German nation and people. We believe that through countering the war propaganda, which continues to be regurgitated to this day, and by replacing the historical lies with facts and evidence that have been systematically ignored, that a measure of justice may be achieved for the German people, and that a Third World War may be averted. That's the mission statement. And Monica continues, the founder and first president of Truth and Justice for Germans in 2015 was Wayne Prandt. In his introductory essay, he described the background for his motivation. Reading this moved me deeply. This is Monica speaking. In his story lies the essence of what has happened and what our current situation is and the critical importance of our mission in bringing truth and justice to the German people. And here is his story. Now, excuse me, I found this story very moving. And this was written by the first president of Truth and Justice for Germans, Wayne Prandt, in May 2015. Many of you, I'm sure, are shocked by the scenes portrayed in Hellstorm and had a hard time watching it and processing it. I feel for you. This is the reality that I've lived with since I was a small child. I wasn't there, but my parents were, and they described these things to me clearly, and their memories became a part of me and have also motivated me and continue to do so. My father was about 16 toward the end of the war. He was learning to fly in gliders, hoping to become a Luftwaffe pilot, and being trained for the flak artillery. That's anti-aircraft guns. He wanted so desperately to shoot back, but they didn't let him. Toward the end, he became so fatigued from the day and night terror bombings that he finally said, to hell with running to the shelters, I just want to sleep. If they kill me, they kill me. And so he stayed home in bed and slept through it and survived, while many others he knew did not. My mother and her family survived many near misses. The apartment building next to hers was completely destroyed, and she lost numerous friends. She told me about the scenes of the smoking stumps of people who got stuck in the burning asphalt, and of the people who were cooked alive in their basement cellars, of close friends of hers who perished in a place where she was supposed to be, but was prevented from being there by other circumstances. To this day, my mother just trembles at the sound of the Lancaster engines in TV films or real prop planes overhead, such as those used by search and rescue teams or forest fire crews. You know, the suffering of individual Germans, what it was like to be bombed again and again and again. And in German cities, there was a systematic decision by Churchill to destroy the German cities, even cities like Dresden, which had absolutely no military value. It was a pure war on civilians, which went against the Geneva Conventions. And so after the war, the stories of Germans and their sufferings got very little publicity, certainly in the West. Many Germans who did survive simply want to get back to everyday living, pull their lives together and move on, which is a very noble sentiment. But many people in the West were not eager to hear their stories, and they were often reluctant to tell them to a less than receptive audience. And of course, the stories that did get told of World War II, at least in terms of civilian suffering, where, well, you know what, the endlessly repeated stories of the so-called Holocaust, both in terms of numbers and detail, a highly, highly questionable. It's become a religion. So when you think of civilian suffering in World War II, it's the Jews. All sorts of people, and not just Germans, suffered. Civilians suffered horribly. But we don't hear their stories. Well, you know, look at who controls Hollywood. Anyway, my views, not necessarily Wayne Ponty's, but back to Wayne. And both, that's his mother and father, told of the horrible starvation in the aftermath and the brutality of the occupiers, how they would burn their leftovers from their mess halls to make sure the Germans got nothing. Ever heard about that? No, it doesn't make the Allies sound too good. Now, of course, that wasn't done by everybody, but it was done by some. And food was denied to Germans. The food shipments were there for almost a year after the war. How U.S. soldiers would eat sandwiches, etc., in front of them and starving children, and then mash their leftovers into the ground in front of them and laugh or growl and shoo them away. They taught me to be grateful and not wasteful. They also told me how wonderful, orderly, and peaceful things were before the war. You know, that's under Adolf Hitler. How good it was compared to what their parents endured after World War I. They were not hungry, though not well off, but they felt secure and hopeful and part of a vibrant society and culture who were proud to be Germans, working together for the common good and as a free people in spite of the worldwide boycotts. Of course, international Jewry declared a boycott on Germany in January 1933 as soon as Adolf Hitler was elected Reichskanzler. There was rationing even before the war because of the boycotts, but no hoarding. It was good and honorable to be German. They were happy to be part of the Hitler Youth and had fond memories of it. They could not understand why the world hated them. They were proud of their leader and form of government and what it had accomplished for all Germans. It had reunited Germans who had been carved away from Germany as part of the Versailles Treaty. They also told of the influx of ethnic Germans from Poland, former German territories, and the unspeakable atrocities these people had recounted, all of which the world ignored. But it was no secret in Germany. During the war, my mother also enjoyed being part of a girls' choir that would sing in the hospices for the wounded, recovering German front soldiers of World War II, and putting together packages for those on the front line. It was a duty and an honor and a joy. I don't do what I do because I have white skin, but because I'm German, writes Wayne Ponty. Not German because I'm a BDR citizen, though I am. That's, you know, West Germany. But because of my German blood and history, culture and heritage and honor it carries with it, which courses through my veins and because of the DNA in each of my cells. My family has its roots in the midst of the Teutoburg Forest, where Hermann, or Arminius, the German, defeated the Romans in 9 AD. I have living blood relatives there today, writes Wayne. Yes, I'm German and proud of it. Though not superior to anyone else. But I also carry this pain of my forebears, this burden of the voluminous lies told about us, and the weight of the horrific crimes perpetrated against us on the basis of a pack of lies. While I have no children of my own, I will not go to my grave without having done all I could to correct the historical record and have sought justice for my parents, my forebears, and for future generations of Germans. But as I've always said, it goes beyond this and what happened to Germany. It's a struggle for all humanity, for this same modus operandi is being used today against other peoples, and still more people are being sucked in by atrocity propaganda and bogus threats to go off and fight needless wars and commit more atrocities, which benefit the same elite few who fomented and benefited from World War I and World War II to the detriment of us all. This must stop, and World War II truth is the key. I didn't start this by having all the answers, nor do I have them all. This is the first president of Truth and Justice for Germans, Wayne Ponty. This is the culmination of a lifelong quest for the truth and the facts, which have been suppressed, and for the vindication of people. I'm still learning from my own research, from the many other brave individual historians and investigators who've gone before me, some of whom have suffered greatly, as well as many contemporaries who share my passion and realize the importance of cutting through the decades-old lies and propaganda and establishing the true facts, not only for the sake of the German people, but the world at large. For it impacts us all, regardless of nationality, here and now. And I might add, this is me, not Wayne Ponte, but the new religion of Holocaust, which is a non-stop attack on the German people, based mostly on lies, but also, ironically, the guilt that the Holocaust religion wants to spread affects us all. It's not just Germans should feel guilty. Against all reason, at least according to the official Holocaust tale, we should feel guilty, even though we, let's say being Canadians, fought against the people who allegedly did the Holocaust, right? Why should we feel guilty? Anyway, back to Wayne Ponte. I was born in Canada and the son of two German immigrant parents, both of whom grew up in National Socialist Germany under Adolf Hitler, and who served survived the war and hell on earth. From the time I was a small child, they shared with me and my siblings the facts as best they knew them, and their own experience, the good, the bad, and the unspeakable horrors and indignities which they, like all other Germans of that era, had experienced, some, though, worse than others. And, of course, they did not survive, some of those Germans did not survive to tell their stories. I had no relatives in Canada, only German family friends whom my parents became acquainted with en route to this country, surrogate relatives, so to speak. They too shared their stories. Thus, even as a child, I had a far different view of the war than that which was presented to us on television, motion pictures, and school. Of course, I did not have any books such as those which are available today, and there was no internet back then for me really to do my own fact-finding and checking. But I knew enough to know that there were two sides to this story, and the German side was never presented. I also knew about Allied propaganda, and I knew who controlled the media. So even as a child, and especially later as a teenager, I did my best to speak out in school to defend my people as best I could with what I did know, or where I could at least cast a doubt about the source of the material. I also had more than a few schoolyard fights with those who called me Nazi. There were always some things, however, which I could not challenge, as I simply had nothing to go on, and I had to accept them as facts until much later in life. My passion for this struggle never left me. This is first president of Truth and Justice for Germans, Wayne Ponte. I was an activist and researcher on many issues over the years, and with the advent of the internet, it eventually brought me back to this fight for truth and justice for my people. And in the process, I discovered many facts, which allowed me to discard even those things which I had previously accepted as fact, and armed with this new knowledge, I was finally prepared to go public, certainly not to win any popularity contests, nor for any other political agenda. Indeed, I made many enemies early on and endured many nasty and vicious attacks from others whose agenda I did not endorse, though they assumed I would. My agenda, however, has always been clear, and I'm still here. It was always my hope that my efforts would lead to a grassroots movement, primarily for Germans or those of German descent, who also shared my early experiences, and of other honest truth seekers. The response I received over the years, in spite of the lunatic fringe and a few nasty, severely brainwashed individuals, has been overwhelmingly positive. As painful and distressing as it was to hear the horrific stories that my parents told me as a child, it was important for me to share it with my siblings. It was important to share it with me and my siblings. It was also essential to hear their pre-war experiences in the Third Reich under National Socialism and to understand what was destroyed. The question was always why. My father is long gone, as are most of the others, but my mother is still alive and I cherish the moments I can talk with her now one-on-one and can explain to her why these events took place and for whose benefit. I can tell her that I am proud to be a German and that she should be too, and that we have nothing to be ashamed of. I can tell her and show her that there was no good reason for the war, that it could easily have been avoided, and that Hitler did all he could to avoid it, that all of the horror, misery, and death wrought by the Allied powers political whores and their financiers was pure jealousy and greed, born of the desire to rule the world and over all mankind. It was a satanic agenda and simply pure evil. Nothing could ever justify what was done to our people and the lies which are perpetuated to this day. It has only served to solidify and perpetuate the power of an elite, self-chosen few, who continue to use the same model today against any other nation or people which dares to stand up against them and to assert their sovereignty and financial independence, free of the international bankster gangsters, and who happen to call themselves international Jewry. Those who refuse to see through the lies and propaganda and glory in their own national mythologies are either well-paid shills or blind sheeple, being led to their own destruction by those who rule over them. For the world is not safe and not free today, and nor democratic, and we are all slaves to the global banking cartel that Hitler and National Socialist Germany tried to resist, and for a time did so successfully. I can also tell my mother and my fellow Germans that there are many thousands of people worldwide who are finally waking up to this truth each day, that I've played a part in this awakening, and so is she, as did my dear father, and all the other survivors who told us their stories. Moreover, there are many others each day joining this battle and sharing this information globally, in books, films, websites, and radio shows, and even many others daring to share the information on the internet through many social networks, as well as local meetings. This is the battle for all humanity and the future of this planet, and I salute all of you who have summoned the courage to look for answers, find the facts, speak the truth, and to share it any way you can. We do not know what the future may hold as a result of our efforts, but we need to only to look around us to see what is going on if we do nothing and say nothing. And this was the first president of Truth and Justice for Germans, Wayne Ponte. The new president is my friend, former political prisoner, Monica Schaefer. Well, as we are on themes German, I'm going to take my musical break right now. And here is some good German drinking music. This is Paul Fromm, and you're on the fighting side of me. Paul Fromm. You've been on the fighting side of me here on WhiteResistanceRadio.com. Back with you again tomorrow, same time, midnight Eastern time. The show's repeated at 8 in the morning and 4 in the afternoon. All those are Eastern Standard Time. And I sign off tonight with the anthem of the real Canada, the Maple Leaf Forever.
In days of yore from Britain's shore, Wolfe the dauntless hero came and planted firm Britannia's flag on Canada's fair domain. Here may it wave our boast, our pride, and joined in love together, the thistle, shamrock, rose, entwine, the maple leaf forever. The maple leaf, our emblem dear, the maple leaf forever. God save our queen and heaven bless the maple leaf forever. At Queenston Heights and Lundy's Lane, our brave fathers side by side for freedom, homes and loved ones dear, firmly stood and nobly died. And those dear rights which they maintained, we swear to yield them never. Our watchword evermore shall be the maple leaf forever. The maple leaf forever. God save our queen and heaven bless the maple leaf forever. Our fair dominion now extends from Cape Race to Nootka Sound. May peace forever be our lot and plenteous store abound. And may those ties of love be ours